Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And once again, we're back. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. And we're answering your questions. Radio program at AOL.com is where you can send questions. And great likelihood that if you send a question, it's a little slower during the summer, that you'll get your question answered promptly.
Yeah.
So
it's a good time to send questions.
Right. We're running a special this month on questions. So radio program at AOL.com, send your questions. Anything is fair game,
yeah.
As you will soon see, because we have a relatively, a little bit of an odd question.
Yes. This comes from Lisa. Dear Dr. Hoffman, I've been in pain for 1 month and have been to the ER 5 times in 1 week. Wow.
ER 5 times in 1 week.
In 1 week. Wow. I accidentally applied diatomaceous earth to the groin, mistakenly thinking that it was cornstarch to treat what I believe to be a mild yeast infection. Cornstarch for a yeast infection. I had the diatomaceous earth and cornstarch in marked Ziploc containers. Medical doctors are unfamiliar and they don't have a solution for me. I'm experiencing at times very sharp pelvic pain and lower back pain. A lot of swelling in my stomach region, along with headaches and fevers.
Wait a minute. 5 times to the emergency room.
Yeah, she's
and nobody can figure out what it is.
Female. Yes.
And we're going to figure it out?
Oh, gee, I don't know.
I don't know. It's this
sharp pelvic pain, lower back pain, pelvic inflammatory disease.
Whoa.
Some abdominal something.
But they must have. They sent her back after all those trips to the emergency room.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's only 37.
Well, I'm just going to focus on what we do know. Is the diatomaceous earth is a type of clay.
Yeah.
And it's made from, it's actually the skeletons of very tiny one-celled organisms or very simple organisms like plankton in the water.
Wow.
And once the organisms die, they form diatomaceous earth, which is a powdery substance that is very absorbent because it has a lot of surface area. And it's good for moist, to apply it to moist areas like, groin rash or something. So I don't think it's... Now, she's inferring that the diatomaceous earth caused the problem?
Yes.
Well, I wouldn't say necessarily that's
right.
The case. I mean, that's a problem for an allergist, to see if she's allergic to some component of the diatomaceous earth.
Yeah.
There are ways to evaluate that. I mean, she could maybe get a patch test to see if she's allergic to something.
Yeah. A lot of swelling in the stomach region, along with headaches and fevers at times. This sounds... I think it's a coincidence that it happens around the same time.
Yeah, and something's going on there. But 5 trips to the emergency room and they haven't elucidated that, that's kind of concerning.
Yeah.
Don't know. Don't know what to do with that.
Don't know, Lisa. Oh, my gosh.
We really aim to solve everybody's problems here. But, some things are... a little bit elusive.
Yeah. Yeah. Lisa, go check in with your doctor, for starters. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you need a good diagnostician, and I would start really with a good GYN exam.
Yeah.
Because pelvic pain needs to be figured out in some way.
Mm-hmm.
With pain, bloating, we've got to do some imaging, MRIs of the abdomen.
Yeah.
Or CT scans, depending on what they're looking for. Certain blood tests can reveal the presence of, some sort of serious process down there.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And then maybe a gastro approach looking, maybe with the colonoscopy or something like that to see if that's part and parcel of the distension and pain. That would be... the way this kind of thing would be worked up. And I've no idea any of that stuff got done.
Yeah.
I presume, presented with this fact pattern, that presenting 5 times in the emergency room would get their attention and that they would undertake a workup to, regardless of what she says about the diatomaceous earth. I would say, okay, you put some diatomaceous earth on there, but let's treat you, like what you're presenting with.
Yeah.
And not infer that it's about the diatomaceous earth.
Right.
I mean, that's not an uncommon thing that patients do. They say, well, I did this, and then all this hell broke loose.
Yeah.
But sometimes we have to say, break the causal link and say, you know, I'm going to take it in because you think it's the cause, but yeah. I'm going to be objective and say, it might have been a coinkydink, and we've got to just deal with the more serious presentation here rather than, is this in reaction to diatomaceous earth?
Yeah. Very interesting.
Because diatomaceous earth is very neutral.
Yeah.
It's a clay. It's not like, oh my God, right. I accidentally got some, it sounds scary, like I put some diatomaceous earth on my, you know.
Yeah.
But it's basically like a clay mask kind of thing, you know.
Right. Lisa, I hope you feel better soon. Oh, wow. Okay.
Let's pause for one of our sponsors to share a vital message with our listeners. Please listen up. Here goes.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to all you out there. So please support them. And now back to our questions. What's next, Leila?
We have from, let's see here, we have an email from Roger. Dear Dr. Hoffman, what do you think about 15 milligrams of boron to boost the effectiveness of existing testosterone? Or I guess he means the effectiveness of, or boosting levels of testosterone.
Yeah, this is kind of controversial. Because, for example, there are multivitamins that are made by one of my good colleagues who's kind of an expert in cancer. She's a naturopathic oncologist, Dr. Lise Altshuler.
Yeah.
And when she makes the multi, she doesn't include boron. Why? Because she's concerned about boron increasing the risk of either prostate cancer in men by increasing testosterone or estrogen in women. This is a product for survivors, cancer survivors. It's called Thrive Multi. And I think it's made by Integrative Therapeutics.
I believe so.
So it's a good multi, but she purposely doesn't include boron.
Yeah.
On the theory that it might have an impact on hormones. I think the information about boron increasing sex hormones is kind of sketchy and controversial. A lot of men's magazines, you know, bodybuilding magazines, will emphasize formulas that contain boron that suggest that you can really dramatically boost your testosterone with boron. But most of these studies are pretty small, and many of these studies are old, you know, from like the 90s, 1997. And and they're not in the most, well recognized scientific journals. They also talk about boron reducing something called SHBG, sex hormone binding globulin. Globulin. Sex hormone binding globulin.
Mm-hmm.
And so that binds up testosterone and estrogen, makes it less bioavailable. So there's some claim that boron will lower SHBG and render the testosterone more bioavailable and unbound. So that's what they say. I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't made up my mind. I think that when you have low testosterone, I think it's perfectly acceptable to use testosterone. I think testosterone, you know, it's a little bit more expensive and you got to see a doctor and
do a lot
safety
of squats.
Concerns. Right. Get adequate sleep. Stop drinking. You know, there are natural approaches to that.
Right.
But I will say this, is that boron is pretty strongly implicated in bone metabolism. And it does, that I think is more credible research, that it, even in a non-hormonal way, it regulates levels of bone morphogenetic proteins.
Yeah.
You know, so boron could be helpful there.
Yeah. I've seen it in osteoporosis.
It's in a lot of osteoporosis formulas.
You'll get the calcium, the magnesium, the D, some genistein or soy isoflavones, and some boron will be in there as well. I've seen boron in multivitamin supplements. I think it's generally in multivitamin supplements to some degree, but not all of them. And could be something if there's any health history of cancer, like a reproductive cancer or breast cancer or anything like that, you probably don't want much boron there. So that will be something to watch. And I think it's helpful to have some supervision when trying to devise a good nutrition plan. It's good to check in with a nutritionally oriented doctor like Dr. Hoffman, a nutritionist like myself, to get yourself on the right plan and make sure that you're not taking the wrong stuff or possibly harmful stuff if you're taking it for a long time down the road. Let me give another example of something that may be harmful, and I've seen this many times in our practice, Dr. Hoffman. Somebody will come in and they will have elevated liver enzymes.
Right.
Well, so what have you been taking? How long are you taking this red yeast rice? Oh, I've been taking that for the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Or how long have you been taking this niacin? All this niacin that you're taking,
yeah.
Like 700 milligrams or something. Oh, I've been taking that for the last, year and a half, 2 years. Well, this might be the reason for the elevated liver enzymes.
Yep. Yeah, there is a possibility.
Things like that. Too much vitamin A can also be toxic to the liver. There are lots of formulations, maybe skin formulations, even multivitamin preparations that I've seen that have way too much vitamin A than I would ever recommend.
Right.
So you would want to watch.
Which could be toxic to the liver.
Things like that. So you do need monitoring when you're taking certain things. So it's best to be careful, or it's best to check in with nutritionally oriented practitioners like us. Don't just get your information from the internet. So
indeed,
yeah,
yeah. Especially, and I noticed that many of the studies, because I use the word very lightly, many of the sites that promote boron for raising testosterone are like muscle magazine sites. They have sort of proprietary interest in getting you to buy boron.
Yeah.
So that there's sort of an advertorial element to that as opposed to an objective science element to that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're promoting it as, go ahead, buy this stuff.
Yeah.
I just want to conclude today by sharing I just want to review something that I talked about over the weekend. I think it's a very profound study. So there's lots of new drugs being introduced every year, and there even is evidence that they're fast-tracking drugs more so. There's sort of a deregulatory climate these days at the FDA. It's like, let's make more cancer drugs available, these life-saving drugs. It takes so long to get them approved. And, even if they don't cure people, they might provide some relief to people. And, why should people have to die, without getting access to these medications? So this headline is from about a week ago. No evidence of added benefit for most new drugs entering German healthcare system. Now, you might say, that's about Germany. Germany is very different than America. But no, Germany is very similar to America in terms of the pharmaceutical environment. Yeah, there's a couple of drugs they don't want that it's okay here. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of drugs that we don't want that's okay there. But there's like about 98% overlap in terms of the drug approval process.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, it's multinational drug companies that promote to both the EU, the European Union, as well as to America. These are the biggest markets for these medications. So what they're saying is more than half of new drugs entering the German healthcare system have not been shown to add benefit. They surveyed 216 drugs entering the German market following regulatory approval between 2011 and 2017. They found that only 25% were judged to have a considerable or major added benefit. So good. But that's just a quarter. 16%, the added benefit was either minor or could not be quantified, barely discernible benefit. For 58% of the drugs, the majority, the available evidence did not prove an added benefit over standard care in the approved patient population. And in particular, and this is something you might suspect, the two worst areas, what would you say? Take a guess. In which areas of medicine would you think the benefits were the least?
Cancer.
They didn't say that.
Ah, okay.
But
okay.
Because I think there have been some benefits in cancer. Psychiatry, neurology, and diabetes.
Oh.
Added benefit for psychiatry, neurology, in other words, like psych meds.
Yes.
Just 6% of the drugs that were, so 94% of the drugs introduced are just newer, more expensive drugs that didn't make a difference.
Yeah.
And in diabetes, and this is really important because diabetes is the scourge now of
yes.
both Europe and America in terms of more and more
epidemic.
People obese and, you know, mm-hmm. and just 17% of the new diabetes drugs showed clear-cut benefit, and 83% no clear-cut benefit. And, you know, they do point to cancer, and they found that in cancer, a lot of the drugs were super expensive and only prolonged life by, you know, a few
five weeks.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So
I don't mean to chuckle there.
They got approved.
They got approved.
They showed benefit, but mm-hmm. you know, is that what we're looking for? Like, you know, drugs that cost $100,000 a year or more.
Yeah.
We just had a patient today, and they were going on a new MS drug, and I hadn't heard of it, and you know, I wasn't going to get in the way of them trying it, and the woman said, you know, this is causing me some anxiety. Because the drug is going to cost us $100,000 a year. I said, there's no insurance for it? She says, no, it's not covered by insurance. Our plan does not cover it. So it's going to be $100,000 per year. And I said, well, how long do you have to take it? She says, well, indefinitely. You know.
Wow.
And now hopefully it will be a decisive benefit. But I have a feeling it'll be one of these drugs that's not a cure.
Mm.
But that will slow the progression, maybe.
Or eat more cholesterol.
I told her to eat more cholesterol.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, we have her on. She's willing to do everything, both holistic and take the medication.
Yes.
But we didn't want to, you know, get in her way of taking something that's a potentially beneficial drug. She'd actually seen one of the really top MS specialists, and hopefully that is going to be added benefit in terms of the lifestyle measures. But the lifestyle measures are so important. And, you know, we do have the example of Terry Walls, for example, who had been on, I mean, as a physician, she had access to all the best and most aggressive medications. They didn't help her, and she was becoming somewhat debilitated from the side effects of the medications. She decided to just chuck it and went for the natural therapies, even for a very aggressive form of MS.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's kind of the theme of intelligent medicine: is let's be selective about medications. Let's find that
use
you know
them where they're
five
appropriate.
Or 10 or 15 or 20% of medications that are really efficacious. But you know, let's deprescribe the medications that are unnecessary, and let's use the plausible lifestyle approaches that really can work for these conditions.
Exactly, and can make really all the difference in the world. If you all haven't read about Dr. Terry Walls, I would encourage everyone, just go ahead and put it in your search engine and you'll find all kinds of information. But it's really stunning what she's done, how her own health has gotten so much better. The effectiveness of the ultimate therapeutic diet, honestly. And she's eating a very paleo lifestyle. She's getting a lot of nutrients from her food. She's eating on the amount of about 9 servings of vegetables a day.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you
know, a rule, a tenet of...
And here's, you know, you'd think, well, she's a carnivore, so she doesn't eat any vegetables. Like, hello?
You need a side dish.
It's not an either-or thing. It's not an either-or thing.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you need a side dish with that steak. You have some spinach.
She probably eats more vegetables than a vegan.
Probably.
You know, right?
Probably. And a tenet of integrative and functional medicine, I like this a lot. All of us should strive to eat 5 colors a day. Colors. Think about your
produce.
But
I don't want to do that. Can I just take the fruit and veggie pills? I mean, I hear them advertised on the radio.
Oh, no.
They concentrate all those things into a little pill.
Oh, sure. And what was the
It's like astronaut food.
I had I had reflux all my life for 30 years, and then I took this product and it magically disappeared. Oh, my MS magically turned around because I took these fruit and veggie pills. Come on.
The brain lesions in my brain cleared up.
Yeah, they cleared up.
Yeah.
How do people get away with
that? Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't believe everything you hear.
Yeah. I'm particularly incensed when I listen to the radio and I hear those kinds of claims being mm-hmm. made about, you know, it's one thing to, you know, encourage people to eat lots of fruits and vegetables.
Yes.
You know, and
which is always
some people
idea.
Would say, oh, that's quackery. You can't claim to cure disease with fruits and vegetables. Well, I believe you can.
Yes.
And, you know, diet is a powerful tool. But then to say, hey, you don't need to bother to eat all those fruits and vegetables.
Just take these pills
that we sell you. We compress all the goodness into these little pills.
Yeah.
Miracles will happen.
Right.
Just incredible stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is such a betrayal of the public trust.
It is
horrible.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, I really would love to look at how they stage these testimonials, how they incentivize people to provide this kind of information, or whether those people are just outright actors. Because
mm-hmm. That's possible.
Those are Academy Award winning
testimonials. But they'll claim these are not actors.
Right.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. We still wonder. Yeah.
Don't hold back. Tell us what you really feel about those fruit and veggie pills.
Oh my gosh. Well, and it gives people license. Well, if I take these fruit and veggie pills, I don't have to worry about my diet, and I can continue eating pizza and French fries, and my MS is going to go away,
and my
GERD is going to disappear.
I'm taking my fruits and veggie pills.
Not if you're having
pills.
Pizza and French fries.
Right.
No, it won't. Oh, my goodness. So.
I like the one where the guy says, I manage 15 gas stations, and I drive 200 miles a day. I give some of these things to my son, and he liked them. He said, Dad, these are good. These are good. It's like,
huh. And the Academy Award goes to
exactly method acting.
Yeah,
you know, the guy probably, like, at the end of the commercial, the guy goes, "How was that? Was that a good run through? I did my Greek accent there." Okay, we're done. I think this has been fun. We're getting silly, so it's time to stop. Radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions, and we welcome them. We tackle them every week on our weekly Q&A with Layla. Support our sponsors. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Subscribe to our newsletter and become a more informed listener to Intelligent Medicine, which by the very fact you've listened, you probably already are.
Thank you for joining us.
Have a great week.
This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.